Hey everybody, this is Sari.
And this is Sean.
And we're the Simpson siblings. We're talking about the Simpsons. Halloween stuff after Halloween.
Halloween just keeps giving. I don't know where I'm going with that.
It is. It Halloween is the gift that keeps giving. It is. You know how there's all those Christmas songs that are like, Christmas won't go away if Christmas is in your heart all year round? Like that, but with Halloween.
All I want for Christmas is boo.
Yes. It's beautiful. Yeah. It is November, but we don't care. We're going to talk about Treehouse of Horror 4.
Let's say it's 8:15 p.m. on November 1st. We are doing this.
It is. We are doing this at 8:15 p.m. on November 1st. Some dang things came up, okay, guys? Things happened. But the Treehouse of Horror 4 was voted on by you, the listeners, on our Twitter, which is at SimpsonSibs. So thank you if you voted for that. And this might be my second favorite Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah, I really like the older, I would say, classic ones, just because I remember growing up with those and seeing them come on the cycle on broadcast TV. And, you know, it would be like April and Halloween would be in the rotation and we'd see all these. And they're just fun to watch over and over again.
Yeah. We just think they're neat. But yeah, Treehouse of Horror 4. So this is Season 5, Episode 5. It originally aired on October 28th, 1993. Okay, this one's going to take a little bit. It was written by the wraparound scenes with Bart were written by Conan O'Brien. The demo and Homer Simpson was written by Greg Daniels and Dan McGrath. Terror at 5.5 feet was written by Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein. And Bart Simpson's Dracula was written by Bill Canterbury. And it was directed by David Silverman. Guest stars Phil Hartman as Lionel Hutz and Frank Welker as the Gremlin, which Frank Welker's been in a lot of stuff.
A lot of Simpsons stuff, or like, just
a lot of stuff, period. He's like one of the most like voice acting voice actors ever. He was a bunch of the Transformers, Fred in Scooby-Doo, and Scooby-Doo from Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo. Indeed.
But Jimmy Carter is smarter.
Yeah, if you look at his, like, Wikipedia for all the things he's done, it's, like, freaking huge. It's freaking nuts. But yeah, he was the gremlin. He did all the gremlin noises.
Okay.
All those little kind of.
So we do have the openings with like those creepy paintings, and we have like the tombstones. Again, one of them says a subtle political satire, which I love how the tombstones every year just call out things as they are. And they do some pretty just like plain humor stuff. But we also have one of the classic warnings from Marge. And I just love these. Like, it goes back to like the first Halloween special where I feel like they probably felt like they had to do that. I don't know if there's a story behind it. Mm-hmm. But over the years, it just turned into more of a tradition versus a necessity.
Yep.
Because everyone knows how these are going to be now.
You understand going into a Simpsons Halloween special what you're going to be getting into.
Yeah.
Also, I noticed that the words on the Treehouse of Horror title got really pixely when they zoomed in. Like, they did not use a very high-definition file for that.
I'll have to look at that. I'm curious now.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just very low quality compared to everything else in the episode, but I don't know what the reasoning is behind that.
Maybe it was, like, a remastering thing, and they just, like, botched it.
Yeah, because I did watch it on Disney Plus, so I wonder if that was something like that. And I believe this is the last one that had those sorts of wraparounds where there was, somebody introducing the stories.
Yeah.
Which would be cool if they brought that back.
Yeah, it kind of sets the tone.
Yeah, but at the same time, I can understand that it takes away a lot of time.
Yeah, that's true.
I always thought that the animation of the eyes in this episode was a little weird.
Wow, so weird.
Like, they seem a little extra bulgy. I don't know how to describe it. They just look different. And I don't know if it's just me.
Maybe they were going for, like, a different overall theme, and they just changed, like, you know, like kind of like the base resting positions for them.
Yeah, maybe. And God, these episodes move so dang fast. Going from the Homer's sort of dream sequence to looking for a donut and all of that.
Well, it's like each one they have to build this whole world, and they have to do it three times with commercials and the opening and closers.
Yep. I love this IOU one emergency donut signed Homer. He's always one step ahead.
The thing that I've always said is, like, future me is always a sucker, like when I'm procrastinating on stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, that kind of goes in my theory, too, of Homer's brain being, like, on a different, like Homer's brain's almost on, like, two different tracks. Kind of like when he talks to his brain, and sometimes his brain gets mad at him and things like that. This is almost kind of an example of that.
Yeah, it's like two parts of him are always fighting for that control.
Mm-hmm. Flanders as the devil has, like, there's so much to unpack here.
And that's, I know, like, these stories aren't canon, but I wonder, like, in this self-contained world of this sliver of an episode, was Flanders actually the devil the whole time? Did the devil come into the world looking like Flanders?
I wonder, because, well, the thing is Homer does recognize him. So he's seen Flanders in the past.
Yeah.
And he says, like, it's always the person you least expect, which makes me think that this is Flanders. That's true. Not just looking like Flanders. I don't know why. It's such a little line, but I love it when he goes, careful, hot pen. Because I think of, like, when you're getting food at, like, a restaurant, and they're like, careful, hot plate.
And that's such, like, a specific detail that doesn't contribute to the story.
Yeah, it's just, I just think it's neat.
Is it a potato pen?
Yes. Man, I dressed up as Marge last night, and I should have brought a potato to carry around with me. Aww. The design of that little demon that comes in with the donut is legitimately kind of scary.
Yeah, they do a good job with the little creatures. Like, we'll see later on, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. He's so pointy. Honestly, it's kind of interesting because really the whole episode could have revolved around Homer avoiding that last piece of the donut.
And I had a hard time. Like, he had an out with getting rid of the donut. Like, he knew he could get rid of that one piece and get that little technicality that he didn't eat the whole donut. He could have, like, destroyed it or burned it or something, but he kept it. Like, he kept that temptation.
Yep. And you know he told the family, too, because it's one of the post-its says, like, Daddy's soul donut, do not eat. So, you know there was a scene in between there where he kind of sat everyone down and was like, look, there's this donut, you can't eat it. Not to mention, it would, over the years, it would eventually rot and decay.
You could have fed it to Santa's Little Helper.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me, too. Do you remember that Aqua Teen Hunger Force with the Brood Witch?
No. I forget a lot about that show.
It scared the crap out of me. If you look that up, it's kind of the same concept as the beginning part of this, where, like, he gets this, like, cursed sandwich. I don't remember it super clearly, but he gets a cursed sandwich. It's the shake, I think. And it's a similar thing where he can eat it. And every time he takes a bite, he, like, goes to hell or this weird creepy place, but he saves the last bite so that he doesn't go there. It's a very similar concept, but it's legitimately creepy. It's interesting because, you know how Ned, you know, the devil gets all big and kind of looks like the devil when he gets mad at him?
Mm-hmm.
There's a really, really quick flash of Ned's regular face as he's, like, de-transforming.
Oh, really?
I need to find it on Frinkiac because it's like very quick. I just thought that was weird.
Yeah, I like how too, like when he's when he does that, like, screaming, transforming, like, the room changes too. Like, the ceiling gets so high, and it just, like, changes all the physics of the world around it.
Yeah, there's a lot of great, like, scene warping in this, which, I mean, kind of leads into the next scene, where, like, when that portal to hell is opened after he eats the last piece, yes. Like, Marge's hair kind of, like, twirls into the portal, and, like, everything kind of warps, and, oh my gosh, just the chef's kiss to that animation, you know?
they had fun with that one, like, going beyond their usual scenery and backgrounds.
Yeah, and, like, when he actually falls into hell, they sort of make it look like no way is up or down. Everything's just sort of everywhere.
Yeah, I've seen this one a bunch of times, but I've always noticed every time that I've watched this, like, it's disorienting because it's not, like, the angle of the movement of the camera is always changing, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, rotating on multiple axes, and it's just disorienting.
It really makes you feel like you're in, like, a different dimension completely. Which kind of reminds me of, there's an Adventure Time episode where they have to go, they call it the Nidosphere, but it's really essentially hell. And there's this one shot where they kind of, like, do, like, a POV where he's just turning around and looking at everything, but he turns around more than 360 degrees. And it just kind of keeps going and going and going, and it takes forever to get to the loop point. And it kind of gives you that disorienting feeling like you're in a different dimension.
Yeah.
But I love that kind of animation trick sort of thing. Oh, we get this really casual moment where he just kind of goes, "Hey, Bart."
Yeah, it's... I love, like, I wonder, in that moment I was thinking, does Bart know that Flanders is a devil all along?
Yeah. He must.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such, like, a loaded conversation that only has three words. Hey, Bart. Hey. But, like, the implications behind it, there's so much.
Yeah, everything's in the tone.
Yeah.
And I love the whole scene with just the donuts, the eternal torture and everything. Like, forcing him to just eat them one after another until he can't eat anymore. And even hell can't contain Homer's hunger for donuts.
And it almost gives him, like, this, that he is just supernaturally always hungry. Like, it kind of even goes back to when he goes to the all-you-can-eat buffet and embarrasses Marge because he's like, well, I didn't have all I could eat.
Yeah.
So, of course, we get Lionel Hutz showing up. And I think it was Real Jim's that said once... that this episode is unfair because it has Lionel Hutz in it. Like, yes. Like, if you put Lionel Hutz in a Halloween special, it's going to be amazing regardless. Yeah. So, I've got my favorite line of the episode. "Don't you worry. I watched Matlock in a bar last night. The sound wasn't on, but I think I got the gist of it."
And to think that he can use that to his benefit.
Mm-hmm. He thinks that's going to impress them. That's going to comfort them. That, you know, he doesn't know a lot about the law, but he watched Matlock on mute in a bar. So he'll be fine.
That's all you need to know.
And they make the agreement. He wants, like, a bathroom break every half hour. And the devil says, "The jury will be chosen by me." "Agreed." "No, wait."
It's decided. And I like to, like, I think the judge is Jasper's voice.
Oh, I never noticed that. You're totally right.
Yeah.
I never noticed that. It totally is. You're right. We got Richard Nixon on the jury, and he's like, "Well, I'm not dead yet." He would actually die, like, 6 months after this episode.
Oh.
So that joke would only really be valid for, like, 6 months.
But then he'll go to live on in Futurama.
Indeed, in the jar. Of which I drew fan art of.
Yeah.
Because you told me to for some reason. Oh, so I looked this up because I never got this. I thought they were just being random. But the 1976 Philadelphia Flyers... So they were an extremely violent team, and they were nicknamed the Broad Street Bullies.
Hmm.
And I guess they beat a lot of people up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I meant to look that one up, and I didn't write it down, so it never happened.
Yeah. Because I wondered about that every time. I thought they were just being, like, super, super random. Like, let's just pick a random team from a random year. But they legitimately were really mean, supposedly. I love the sort of random casualness, like such a casual problem of Marge trying to find seats for everyone.
I just have written down my notes. I'm sorry, Mr. Blackbeard. Where's the baby seat?
This cherubby eye, says I. Oh my gosh. And she's being so, like, gentle to all of them, too.
I know. She's just trying her best.
Yeah, she's still the gracious host. Lionel Hutz's terrible defense, where he's basically just giving a definition of a contract.
Which works against them. Unbreakable. And he's doing, like, the finger in his hand. And that's his only argument.
Oh, my God. It's funny, because I remember, in hindsight, him being in this segment a lot. But he really isn't in it that long.
Yeah, because he just kind of bails after that.
Mm-hmm.
If they want him to stick around, they should put some money down.
No. Money down. I think Marge has a pretty cool idea here with the way she gets him out of this.
Yeah, because it's kind of like she's just trying to distract him at first, but then it leads to something.
Yeah, yeah. And Blackbeard trying to read the back of the photo. Yar, it's some sort of treasure map.
He just sees a bunch of squiggles and lines.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, the back of the picture says that Marge owns Homer's soul because of, like, something romantic he wrote a long time ago. And they win the case, but the devil's still allowed to punish them. That seems kind of unfair.
Well, because there's that line, too, when Flanders is like, oh, stupid Americans in your court system and all that, so I feel like he works a little bit outside of the normal legal system.
Yeah.
Oh, was it you stupid Americans in your due process?
So whenever he says that the donut will be ever forever on your head, and he kind of points at him, it flashes for like a half second, and he has like a skeleton face for a half second. And that shot always scared me as a kid.
Yeah.
Because I was such a wuss.
But then also the view of him with the donut head is a little bit off-putting. Especially when he's picking at himself.
Really? Because I always thought it was adorable.
I don't know. I always thought of it as if that was you and your head being made of, like, a fluffy cake. Like, you'd be so fragile and just easy to fall apart.
I guess that's true. I mean, you can't get wet. Eventually, it would mold.
Can't get near other Homers.
Yeah. Can't get near, probably, fire. But, you know, like, taking that aside, it's a pretty adorable design.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's something I imagine they probably went through several revisions to get one that looked just right.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to see the other ideas of what Donut Head Homer looked like. I bet there's some cool ones. God, we are 24 minutes into this, and we've only gotten through the first segment.
I know.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, next we go back to Bart at the whole night gallery scene, and he says, oh, it's a school bus. It must be a ghoul bus.
No, it's a school bus.
Yep. I always thought the music on this one was really good. It was very foreboding. They really got the atmosphere down on it.
I was going to say, like, I always thought it helped build the story, too. Like, the tension that he's feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. The Krusty trading cards, that's really a joke that could have gone in any episode anywhere. I think they just needed to fill a couple seconds.
They might have had it on standby for a couple years and be like, oh, okay, we need to fill these 20 seconds.
Yep. Krusty poses for trading card photo. In Bart's dream sequence, there's a lot more great angles that they animate here.
Yeah, I always felt like it made the school bus seem bigger on the inside. Not to throw a Doctor Who joke out
like
there.
Like a TARDIS?
I knew you were going to jump on that.
Yes. That's true.
Why? Was there a good recent episode of Doctor Who?
I can't talk about it. I can't talk to you about it. I love Homer's explanation about the horn. That it was just sitting in some guy's boat. So he literally just stole some guy's boat horn.
Yeah, it's just, I kind of paired it with, like, remember he was at Costco or Mega Mart or whatever it was called, where he's like, oh, there's toothpick in it. I imagined him like being like figuring some little loophole to make it his.
Yep. Oh, this is a great line from Principal Skinner when he gets on the bus. Mother hid my car keys to punish me for talking to a woman on the phone. She was right to do it.
That little just control that she has over him.
Yeah, it's like it already would have been funny if he was like disgruntled about it, but the last line just clinches it as a great joke.
Yeah.
The gremlin on the side of the bus that always gets Frankie because her parents had, so my in-laws had a gremlin for a while, that kind of car. And so she's like, oh my god, it's the gremlin on the side of the bus.
And I saw it as a double joke, too, because Hans Moleman kind of looks like a gremlin.
That's true, too. He does look like a little gremlin. This joke has been done before, and it's been done many times since, but it always gets me laughing, is when something little happens to something and it just explodes for no reason.
Isn't it, like, after the accident, like, a leaf falls on it, and that's what makes it explode?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It kind of reminds me of the old Family Guy episode where they have, like, a street race or something, and don't they end up, like...
He's racing, like, an Amish buggy.
Yeah!
And it just explodes, too.
Like, it looks at the screen and then explodes. I don't care the context. I don't care how many times it's done. That type of joke gets me every dang time.
Yep.
Yep. It's like a Ziggy Boogie Doo. Boop. And Welker does a great job with that gremlin voice. It just sounds so otherworldly and just creepy.
Especially when he starts like looking at Bart and interacting with him. Like it's mm-hmm. like it's trying to communicate and there's just a message being conveyed there.
Yeah. Hey, this next part always drove me nuts, and I actually figured out why. So the King and Kodos cameo with the gremlin taking apart the ship, that was taken out on syndication.
Okay, I thought so, because that didn't seem completely familiar.
Yeah, so I guess they went slightly over for time and they took that out when they showed reruns, but it wasn't technically a deleted scene because it showed on the first run.
I feel like there's a lot of those peppered in now that it's all on Disney Plus and streaming.
Like, yeah.
Sometimes I'll watch some of these classic episodes and I'm like, wait, I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Since when do school buses have those airplane style window covers?
Yours didn't?
No, mine didn't. Oh, okay.
You know the reference, right?
There's so many little things that they do to make this seem like an airplane, like the big ones coming up later, but
it's almost like the original story was inspired by something that was on an airplane.
Isn't that something?
Hmm.
Isn't it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my god. This is the first appearance of Uter.
Oh, it is.
So Uter was meant to be sort of a one-off character, but he was so well received that they decided to have him come back.
Could say there's a little Uter in all of us.
Oh, dear God, don't remind me.
Because I know you love that one.
No. Well, and going back to the whole airplane thing, there's no reason for the cabin to decompress on when he opens the window.
I love just the ridiculousness of that. Everyone's screaming. William Skinner holding on to his legs. And Willie's like, I'm holding on as hard as I can.
Can you imagine if a bus actually did that? All of the safety problems. Just like every 5 minutes, the whole thing just because one kid decided to open the window.
Because, you know, kids would be playing with that the whole time.
Yeah, it would be chaos. It really is just one lucky throw that gets the gremlin off the bus, because he's not even aiming for him with the flare. It just sort of slips out of his hand.
Yeah, it's when Skinner and Willie are grabbing him and pulling back in, it just kind of falls.
Mm-hmm. As a kid, I got so frustrated. So when I was a kid, anytime something in a cartoon happened that was unfair, I would get so mad. And I hated that Bart was still punished despite being right.
Yeah, it's like, right or wrong, you still need to get punished. And he gets off to the insane asylum.
Yeah, and it's like very obvious that the bus was falling apart. And that last shot with Flanders' head always scared me as a kid.
Yeah. Aw, he's trying to claw my eyes out.
Oh my god. All right, so we're going on to the last segment.
Woohoo.
And we've got some dogs playing poker.
Homer screams over it.
They're dogs, and they're playing poker. So Bart says, we had a story for this, but it was far too intense, so we just threw something together with vampires. As a kid, I totally believed this at face value, and I thought, oh my god, I wonder what that other story was.
And they did a great job just throwing this together.
Yeah, it really was pretty good. So Kent Brockman says, another local peasant was drained of its blood. Like, what year is it that they're calling people peasants?
Is that kind of a reference to maybe when the Dracula stories originally took place?
Yeah, it's definitely it. But it's just the fact that they combined it. They combined it without, like, anything else being, you know, everything else is still modern, but they're just throwing in random, you know, words that would have been said at the time.
I'm doing my Sari. You didn't know this?
Oh my god. I can't smack you with my papers because you're like 45 minutes away right now.
God bless the internet.
Stupid internet. You know they have the internet on computers now.
The internet.
Says CompuGlobal Hyper MegaNet.
Yes.
Oh, so when Lisa is explaining that it's a vampire, and she goes, a vampire! That's the shot from all the memes.
Which shot?
So she goes, it's a vampire, and she has her arms back. So many memes where she's like, they okay. Add tears to it.
It's almost like the come at me stance.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Lisa, vampires are just make-believe, like elves, gremlins, and Eskimos. Oh, Homer. Always gotta
throw that third thing in there that throws things off.
How many times did we make that Pennsylvania joke when we were in Pennsylvania?
Several times a day.
Oh, so many.
Pennsylvania.
We've got a lot of relatives in Pennsylvania, so we go there like once every like 4 or 5 years or so. And God, that joke.
It's amazing.
Pennsylvania. I love how everyone's just so oblivious during this entire thing. Like, every piece of evidence is so obvious. Like, they're like, did everyone wash their necks? Like, of course he's a freaking vampire. All of the evidence is right there.
Homer's neck towel was so dirty.
It's so gross. I know, Mr. Burns on the doorbell, he's like, son of a bitch. And it like cuts him off.
Yeah.
I've never even seen, so this is based off of the 90s Dracula movie, and I've never seen it.
Oh, I didn't know it was specifically off of that one.
Yeah, like the font and everything from the beginning, and it came out like, this came out like near when that movie came out.
Okay.
Which, the thing about great Simpsons parodies is you don't have to have seen it in order to get it.
But it enhances it.
Yeah, it does enhance it. But, like, I really liked the recent Treehouse of Horrors. And, like, I never saw it. I never saw the Babadook. I've never seen Westworld. But they were all great spoofs, even though I didn't get the things that connected them to the source material.
At least we know they exist.
Yeah. Like, I've seen The Shining once, and I've seen The Shining, like, probably 1,000 times.
I know.
And so now when I see The Shining, I'm like, that's referencing when Homer has the bat.
Give me the bat.
Give me the bat, the boo. Okay, so... One thing that I didn't notice when I was little, but I noticed as an adult, was there's so much happening with Burns' shadow just throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I kept catching little things. Like, there's one part where he, like, does some hand gestures and everything.
Yeah, like, there's one where he almost looks like he has a yo-yo or something.
Yeah.
And, of course, Lisa and Bart wander off to the underground coffin room, which is, like really obvious with, like, the neon signs and everything.
But the most secret room is the laundry room, which...
Yes.
You know, you want to keep that one hidden.
Maybe his neck is as gross as Homer's, and he doesn't want anyone else to know.
Maybe. That's his necktail washing room.
Exactly. It's a very specific room. So we got the super happy fun slide, which, of course, Bart can't resist that.
But it does look fun.
Yes. Mr. Burns catches them. And the design of all these other sort of extra vampires are all pretty cool looking.
There's some good variety in them, too.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they didn't take this as an opportunity to insert some other Springfield characters there.
Yeah, I kind of was expecting that, because I knew the scene was coming with all of them. I was like, oh, there's going to be some, like, regular characters in there, but no.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that might have been a little bit of a missed opportunity, almost like the episode with all the zombies, and it's like, oh, you killed the zombie Flanders.
He was a zombie?
Like, they could have had, like, a very quick sort of frame of this is what the other characters look like as vampires, but, you know, it's not the biggest deal.
Yeah.
So, Bart as a vampire, we get one of those weird face shots, like, I can't remember what it was called, but it was, like, an animation error where, like, Bart's head goes in two different directions.
Yeah, but how much of it is an error and how much of it is an intentional style thing?
I don't know. I know that the one Treehouse of Horror where it was one of the later ones where they meet their Tracy Ullman shorts selves, they make him do that same face thing.
Yeah.
So it's very much associated with the earlier seasons, because I feel like after this, I don't think it ever happens again. Like, I think this might be the last occurrence, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. It's just interesting.
Is there a name for that movement that one Bart specifically does?
Okay, so somebody on Reddit, thank you, Astute1199, who posted 8 years ago, if I recall correctly from a DVD commentary, they called it a twister. It was something left over from the original shorts that carried over into the series, but eventually went away.
Okay.
Interesting. It looks like on here, it shows that it happened about like 8 times total. That's weird.
Okay. Huh. Seems like it did more than that.
It makes me uncomfortable.
I'll try not to do it around you.
I don't know how you would. You would have to like dislock your jaw. I love how extra this shot is of the window breaking, where they show it 3 times from 3 different angles.
Yeah, it's... They definitely had like a style, like a more horror style that we're going for with this one. I think that really added to it.
Mm-hmm. Grandpa busting in going, "We have to kill the boy! How did you know Bart was a vampire? He's a vampire?" Which honestly kind of reminds me a bit of the whole Zombie Flanders line.
Yeah, it's really similar.
Yeah. So we have Homer getting to stake Mr. Burns and Lisa going, "Dad, that's his crotch."
He's like hammering it several times.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you gotta stab the stake through his heart. And Homer's just like, okay, this is obviously where your heart is. Like, what the hell, Homer?
Yeah, well, he's got a crane up his nose, so you gotta give him some
credit. Yeah, that's true. That's true. This ending is such a damn cop-out. And sometimes I love it, and sometimes I hate it.
Does it vary based on, like, how long it's been since you've seen the episode?
I think so, but Marge ends up being the head vampire despite there being zero clues within the story. She's not even really involved in the story at all. And then right when they're all about to turn Lisa into a vampire, they all just say "Happy Halloween, everybody," and it suddenly becomes a Peanuts spoof.
How is Lisa the only non-vampire in the family?
I don't know. Like, why did they wait that long to turn her? And earlier, doesn't she say, like first they're going to be vampires, the next thing they're going to be doing, they're going to be smoking or something like that?
Yeah.
Which, why would she say that if she was the head vampire? Homer, we got to do something. Today he's drinking people's blood, tomorrow he could be smoking. That's like after he bursts through the window.
You know, drinking blood is a gateway drug.
Yeah. I mean, she could just be hiding it really well. But it's weird because usually the last segment is like the biggest one. And out of these three, the last one is my least favorite.
Yeah, usually the last one's the one I don't like as much for myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. Just from all of them that I've seen, it seems like maybe I'm like burned out from the other two or what's going on, but I don't know, I always feel like the first and second ones are better.
Yeah.
But then I'll probably watch another one and be like, oh, I was wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it all depends. But yeah, that was Treehouse of Horror 4. And so far, this recording is 47 minutes long. The episode's like 20 minutes.
We're professionals, though, so.
I know, that's so you can put your trust in this show.
We could basically just watch the episode at half speed and do commentary along the way.
We could, instead of, you don't want the director's commentary, you don't want the writer's commentary, you want two strangers giving you commentary, that's what you're here for.
Oh, yeah.
If any of you want to look on our YouTube page, which we will put a link to in the description, we now have little shorts that will give you little fun facts about the episodes we're covering. And we also got to give a shout out to Timothy Burleson.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. Oh yeah, we should probably tell people who Timothy Burleson is.
Well, if you're a regular,
we just really like this guy.
Everyone's searching the internet for his name.
And they're like, whoa, what did he do? Is he part of The Simpsons? Timothy Burleson is our patron saint, our Patreon patron. And if you would like to support us on Patreon, check us out at patreon.com/SimpsonSibs. And, yeah, we're not really doing this to make a lot of money, but if, you know.
Wait a minute, what?
But if you would like to throw us even just a dollar, helps us greatly, and we will lavish you with random things, as Timothy, I think, could attest to. Thank you for listening. And if you'd like to join us next time, we will be covering... Oh, yeah, this one was from... So every once in a while, we'll do a random episode. So we put all the numbers of the episodes and we have it pick a random number from that. And this time we got season 12, episode 14, New Kids on the Block. Which, honestly, I don't think I've seen since it originally aired.
I don't think so either, so that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, I've heard it holds up surprisingly well. I think probably because, like, at the time I was like, NSYNC. I'm so tired of hearing about NSYNC.
Yeah.
But now that's, like, retro, which is weird. But yeah, join us next time for New Kids on the Block. And watch the episode before you listen to get the full experience. So, until next time, bye, everybody.